Amen. This morning I want to talk to you about the peril of safety. I want to talk about this whole issue of us wanting to seek what is safe in our life and the dangers of actually doing that. I just want to read something that was sent to me and about where is a safe place to be. Now, we all want to be safe. And at the moment in the media, they're all saying about we need more police, we need more policing, we need all these things happening, and we want to be safe. But there's danger that if we always are looking to take the easy road, always looking for safety. Just want to read you something. One of the things that, in terms of being safe, there's a suggestion that you avoid ever riding in a motor vehicle because motor vehicles are responsible for about 20% of all fatal accidents. Don't stay at home because 17% of all fatal accidents will occur in the home. Don't go walking on the street. Don't be a pedestrian because about 14% of all accidents occur with pedestrians. Don't travel by air, rail or water, because 16% of all accidents involves those forms of transportation. And of the remaining 33%, 32% of all deaths occur in hospital. So above all, avoid going to hospital. But what you'll be very, very happy to know that it's only 0.001% of all deaths occur at churches. Praise God for that. So that's the safest place to be. So make sure your church Sunday morning, no safer place statistically to be than to come into church and to be worshipping the Lord. Amen? Amen. Well, let's have a look at this passage in Matthew chapter 14, and this is the story of Peter walking on the water. You've probably heard this passage many times. I personally feel that Peter gets a bit of a raw deal on this passage, so I want to have a look at this morning. And let's have a look at it. Matthew chapter 14, verses 25 to 32. Now, what's happened is, if you actually read the Gospel of Mark, it gives a little bit more information. Earlier on, they've already done the miracle of feeding the 5,000, have already been fed. The people have gone. Jesus sends them home. Says the disciples, guys, you get in the boat, you go off ahead to Bethesda. I'll be there soon, and I'm going to go pray. I'm going to go to the prayer meeting. And so he goes and prays and spends several hours just praying with his Father in heaven. Prayer is so important. Jesus always acknowledged that, and it was important for him, and it's obviously important for us as well. So Jesus has gone off and praying. The disciples are in this boat, and they're there over the Sea of Galilee. It says a lake, but it's the Sea of Galilee. It's a very big lake, really, for a lake, the Sea of Galilee. They're in this boat, and they're going across there. All of a sudden, this incredible waves and swell comes, and they're just getting beaten back against the waves. Anyway, let's take it up from there. Shortly before dawn, so they've been going for a long time. They've been out there hours struggling and fighting against this storm, trying to make headway into this strong wind and waves. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. And when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water and came towards Jesus. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? Absolutely amazing. But when he saw the winds, he was afraid and began to sink. Cried out, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You have little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. And those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." And as I said, I think in some ways that Peter, you know, people read this passage, they look at this passage, Peter always gets the raw deal. People say to him, "Oh, yeah, Peter, you took your eyes off the Lord, you looked at your circumstances and you were overcome and you started to sink when you did all of that." And all of that is true. It's true. If we take our eyes off the Lord, we are in trouble. Even that word was saying this morning. It's important we keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. But I look at this and I don't think Peter is... I actually look at him and think, this guy is an absolute hero. He is a hero as far as I'm concerned, that Peter, he's the one who got out of the boat. Because just remember that they're all there in the boat and they all see Jesus coming across there. Now, some of them are freaking out, "What's this? It's a ghost," whatever it is. And then Peter, peering through the wind and the waves and the rain pelting down upon them, he looks in and they can all say, "Lord, if that's you, Lord, you tell me to come." And he hears the command from the Lord to come. And he gets out of the boat and he actually gets in there. But see, why I think he's a hero is because he is the one who actually got out of the boat. And you just remember that boat was full of disciples. And And he says, Lord, if it's you, Lord, say come. Now, they would have heard Peter say that. They're all in the boat. He's shouting out because across the wind and the waves, you've got to be yelling. And he's yelling out, and they would have heard that, and they would have heard Jesus come. He didn't say come just to, the invitation he gave wasn't just to Peter. He said, come. So they all knew. He said, if it's you, Lord, so it must be the Lord because he's saying come. But only one of them got out of the boat, and that was Peter. And the rest of them, what were they doing? Well, they were in the storm, and that's what I call, I think of what I call blanky Christians. They like having their little blankie with them. They like to be comfortable, like to be safe, and like to be secure. And there's a storm going on for sure. But Peter, he's not this a blanky Christian. He doesn't want to be all snuggled up in his blankie hiding away. But he actually steps out of the boat and responds to what the Lord says. He steps right out and he gets out on there and he starts walking. Yeah, now he has this little crisis of faith as he goes along there, the reality of where he is and what's happening, and he begins to sing. But he's a hero as far as I'm concerned. He got out of the boat. But there are many, many of us, and sometimes that we look for a life of comfort, we look for a life of safety. We always take the easy way out. We take the line of least resistance. We'll take the easy road on things. We won't sacrifice. We won't put ourselves out. We just want to be comfortable. Don't mess with me too much. And always retreating into myself. And when something happens, we just want to cocoon ourselves and snuggle up with our little blankie. But God has not called us to be little blankie Christians. We're ones that are clothed in the righteousness and the power and the authority of Jesus Christ. And that's the kind of believer that God wants us to be, how we're to work and to grow in the things of God, that we're ready to step out. We're not ones looking for our own comfort and security and safety, but we're actually putting everything on the line to say, Lord, my safety alone comes from you, Lord Jesus. My security alone, it comes from you. And I don't care what the storm is, and I don't care how bad the wind and how bad the rain is and all of the things that would come against me. Lord, when you give the invitation, when you say come, Lord, I'm going to get out of the boat and I'm going to go. Now, as I said, Peter wasn't the only one in the boat. There's a whole bunch of other disciples. Jesus says, come, and I'm sure some of them are sort of going, looking away, you know, trying to hide, caring, look, I'm not getting out of this boat. And if I get out of this boat, I'm going to drown. And some people are like that. They're so fearful and taking a step, and they worry about what might happen to them. And they're not really trusting on God. And we got to be ones who trust on God, not a little blanky Christian that is comfortable with what they know, holding on to the familiar, holding on to the past, holding on with what they know and their own strength, their own security, their own circumstances, without being clothed and knowing the power and the strength they have in Jesus Christ. And so important that we become people that are ready to get out of that boat, to step out of that boat, and not to be ones who want to play it safe. And there is a real danger in playing it safe. It's Ecclesiastes 11, chapter 4. And see, a lot of people are like this. Before they ever make a move, before they ever take a stand, before they ever do anything, they wait for everything to be right. It says in Ecclesiastes 11, 4, in the Living Bible, it says, if you wait for perfect conditions, you will never get anything done. And a lot of people are like that. Some people are just procrastinators. They just put everything off. They put everything off until they can no longer procrastinate. It gets to the point of embarrassment. They've got to do it because they've been found out. They're slack at this procrastinating. But this is a little different from just procrastinating. Procrastinating is a form of laziness. We don't want to be procrastinators. But more than that, this is saying someone who, I'm going to get this done. And I know it needs to be done, and I know it's really important, but I will not take a step, I will not do anything until it's all perfect conditions, until there's no waves, until there's no wind and there's no storm, when everything is nice, the water is crystal clear, when everything is right there, and I know Jesus is right there, he's holding my hand, and I'll step out the boat with him, and when it's perfect, that's when I will do something. But I tell you that if you live your life as someone who was always waiting for everything to be perfect, you will never do anything in life. The scripture says that, and it's so true. If you're always waiting for everything to be perfect, it never will be perfect. And we need to be able to be someone who steps out and takes that risk, who is able to not, okay, well, I'm not going to do anything. I'm paralyzed with fear, waiting for everything to be so comfortable and so right and so perfect, then I'm going to do it. You will never do anything in life. And as a heart of a church here, we believe our heart is that we want to see us to be everything that God made you to be. And so many people don't come into the fullness of what God has for them because at the end of the day, they just want to be comfortable. They just want to be safe and never step out, never get out beyond that. And if they're going to do that, then they'll wait till everything is just perfect. Everything lines up. Bang, 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 bang. Now I'm going to go. And they never do anything. Some people think, oh, well, if every door is open, then I'm just going to walk through. But if every door is open and there's never any struggle, you're never going to need any faith. That you never need to rise up within yourself. If you're always waiting for the calm water, you will never do anything. The scripture tells us that. It says, if you wait for perfect conditions, you will never get anything done. And some of us in our own lives are waiting for perfect conditions. And then you've been waiting. And some people have been waiting for many, many years. You've been waiting. Look, it's not a good time now. Now's not a good time. I'm going through a really hard time. Going through a struggle now. I'm under pressure at the moment. Not a good time. You know, I just don't have enough money. My finances are stressed. It's not a good time. You know, I'm not 100%. My health is a bit of a struggle. You know, it's not a good time. If you wait for everything to perfectly align, you will never do anything in life. And that's what I'm talking about this morning, about the danger of playing it safe. Always wanting everything to be perfect. And even wanting everyone else to be perfect, even expecting them to be perfect before you trust them. Well, there's times of time where we need to take risk. I'll take a little bit, talk about that a little bit more later. But you know the story of the woman who had the bleeding. And amazing, horrible problem with bleeding for 12 years, going to every doctor. How demeaning for a woman to have that condition and to be shunted from doctor to doctor. And some of them would be, you know, qualified, and some of them were just charlatans. And this woman desperately, and when you're desperate, you go to trying to get help. Very degrading for this poor woman. She was also unclean because of the condition that she was in. And then she sees Jesus, but when she finally gets to see Jesus, Jesus has got this big crowd of people around him. And just this big crowd. Now, if she waited for the perfect condition when Jesus is standing there on his own saying, anybody want prayer? Anyone want anything? If she had a thought like that, then nothing would have ever happened to her. But she saw the crowd, everyone's pressing against Jesus. She just pushed through the crowd and she just grabbed the hem of his garment, and Jesus turns and says, whoa, who touched me? The disciples are going, what are you talking about? Everybody's touching you. You're in the crowd. He said, no, someone with faith. Someone stepped out. Someone took a step and they reached out and they touched me. And there was a power that went from out of me. And this lady, she was healed. But see, some of us just need to come to that place where we're going to step out on the boat. You need to throw away your blankie and let the security be found only in Christ and not in the things that you have, not in the circumstances that you're familiar with, not the things that you know, but to throw everything else aside and say, Lord, I'm going to follow you. You know, even like blind Bartimaeus when he's crying out to the Lord, Lord, have mercy on me. And everybody's saying, shut up. Will you just shut up? Jesus is coming, just be shut. And he cries out all the more. And he's crying out, and then Jesus comes and he's healed. And he took a risk. Even when the people were against him, people are saying, just shut up, will you? He still kept on saying what he knew and crying out in desperation. And God did a miracle in his life. Some of us are not getting the breakthroughs in our life is because we just want to stay comfortable. We want to stay secure. And some people, even with healing, you know, I've come across people in my many years of ministry of people that come for prayer, but they don't really want to get prayed, healed, because if they got healed, then they're going to have to get a job, and they don't want to get a job. And so not everyone wants to get healed because they're secure sometimes. And that's very frustrating. So you'll never achieve everything that you want to do and be called to do and be the person that you've called to do, to be what God made you to be, if you're going to stay playing it safe. And the other thing is about that if we don't risk, if we never take any steps, you're never going to grow at all. Well, I think this was an amazing growing thing for Peter. Now, Peter, we know, was an impetuous. We know he was a bit of a hothead. But however, you know, it's far better to be a hothead than a corpse. And so he was a little bit impetuous in some of those things. But I think that would have been a profound thing with the faith of Peter. That Peter, when he looked back, and you're sure he reflects back and took his eyes off and whatever, he started to sink. But for those moments, we don't know how far that he walked. It tells us in Mark that Jesus was far enough that they thought he was actually going to pass by them, just, you know, hooting right past them, walking past them. And so he would have had to walk some distance. It wasn't like Jesus was just there. Jesus was passing by, is what it tells us in the Gospel of Mark. And so for that time, I'm walking on water. And just having done that would have done something amazing in Peter. Imagine what that would do to his faith. that when he sees the beggar at Gate Beautiful and the beggar's there, and he just says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give thee. And he grabs him by the hand and lifts him up. Something changed within his heart because he stepped out and God did something deep within him during that time. And everyone in the boat said, man, you are the Son of God. And so if you don't take risks, you're not going to grow. And people that are stunted spiritually, who don't grow in the realm of faith, are people who want to play it safe. You know, you'll never get a miracle unless you need one. You'll never see God come through at the last minute for you if he doesn't need to come through at the last minute for you. You need to step out. We need to take those risks. And Hudson Taylor, the great missionary, said, unless there's an element of risk in your exploits for God, there's no need for faith. And see, a lot of us, we don't want to, we want everything to be perfect. When everything's just right, when I'm old enough, when I know enough, when I'm smart enough, when I've got enough money, when my kids are growing up, when my kids are this, or when I'm retired, or when I'm this, then I will actually start taking steps and start doing things for God. I'll wait till everything's perfect, every condition, yep, then I can do that. If that's our mentality, then we're not going to grow. And the other thing is, we just don't need faith. And as it says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so if you want to have a life full of faith, if your life is boring, if your life is mundane, then get on board with the adventure by getting out of the boat and actually stepping into what God has for you. Take some risks of faith and knowing, not, I'm not talking about foolish irresponsibility, where you just, at every little whim, you know, we pray and we're walking closely with God and we're listening to him and God leads us and then we take those steps of faith. But it says, unless faith, it's impossible to please God. See, there's something about the storm. See, a lot of us, we don't want any storms. If we had our way, there would be never any storms in life. But the reality is, if you're alive, there's going to be storms in life. And it doesn't matter how hard you hide. You can go hide yourself under your bed, and yet there still will be a storm that will come. And there's storms of life. There is storms everywhere in life. But they are so important in our life for our growth. And some people want to run away from things, avoid every conflict, avoid everything, trying to make it safe, just, you know, never deal with anything, never whatever. But you'll never grow as a person. There's no growth in that area if we don't go through struggles. And see, a lot of people don't do stuff because they're worried about, well, if I do this, I'm going to fail. Well, what if I fail? But if we don't try, we've already failed. Already you failed. And so, What is there to lose other than the possibility of success? You can actually gain success. But if you don't try, you've lost. And so we try. We give our very best. But the struggle is so very important. And many of you have heard that little story of the old man and watching the little cocoon and seeing the little cocoon moving and seeing this little shaking and then seeing this little hole breaking forth in the cocoon. And this man watches this and sees this little thing that's just trying to turn into a butterfly. It's metamorphosing into a butterfly and it starts eating through and it's trying to get out. And he's watching this struggle, totally fascinated by watching this, waiting for this little caterpillar to come out of this cocoon and become into a butterfly, watching this struggle. And after several hours, he's watching that. And it seems to be this little thing just doesn't seem to be making much progress there. Watches it even for a few more hours, just fascinating, willing, urging on, cheering on this little, come on, come out and be a butterfly. And eventually the guy thinks, well, look, this is going on. This thing's obviously not going to make it. And so he actually gets the little cocoon and he begins to actually rip it open a little bit and so it can emerge. And so he does that. He opens it up and out comes this blobby, sluggy-looking thing. It's basically got more or less the body of a butterfly, but there's this big, elongated, and it's full of this fluid. And he watches this thing. So come on, do your stuff and begin to fly. Well, all it can do is just crawl around. It can't actually fly at all. In fact, eventually it just dies, and it would die. Because one of the important things in the butterfly is that whole struggle is that's where those fluids, that's what actually comes out and becomes injected into the wings and actually gives the wings the strength and gives the wings. That fluid has to come out. And in the struggle of just trying to get out of the cocoon, that's where it actually does its growth. That's its transformation process in that. And see, some of us, and some of us are guilty of doing that for others. Sometimes we want to be a rescuer. Parents, you can be a rescuer. You can see the struggle, and we always try to rip open the cocoon for them, and we wonder why our children don't grow in certain areas of life, because we're always there ready to rip open the cocoon every time we see they have a struggle. Children, we've got to let our kids have some struggles. They've got to have some fun. They've got to have some disappointments. Don't insulate your children from disappointment. Oh, never let them disappoint. They've got to feel disappointed. They've got to know what it is to be let down, because they're going to get let down in life. We can't stop that in our children, but we need to let them go through some of those things, because they will actually grow in that process. And so we've got to be careful. But there is the struggle. There is growth that happens during the struggle of life. And we can try to avoid that. And so many times we try to avoid all the things that happen. But they're actually important when you're going through a struggle. Some of you are going through struggles now. And you immediately say, look, just stop it, Lord. Just let this thing stop. But really, God's doing something in you. He's actually transforming you. He's helping you be the person that he made you to be. And you just got to go with it. Go with God in it. But don't try to fight against it. Just work in it and say, Lord, I'm in the middle of this. You're with me. You're helping me, Lord. You haven't forgotten me. But Lord, I know I've got to get through this, and I know I will, because with your strength, I will. But there's a transformation in that. Now, don't ever freak out when you're having problems and think, oh, no, God's forsaking me. No, it's a part of the formation of who we are. If you want to be able to fly, you want to be able to be full, have an abundant life, you go through things in life, and don't despise that process. It says in John 17, 24, it says, very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of the wheat dies to the ground, a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. We want to grow. And sometimes in the circumstances, you feel like you're going through a death in that situation, but there's something that within you that maybe God's dealing with, some attitude that you have that just needs to die. Maybe there's some lack of discipline that needs to die, some complacency, or whatever it is, it just needs to die. Because when that thing dies within us, then we can begin to produce much fruit within our lives. And so it's so important that we want to be able to grow in the things of God in our life. The other thing is that's so important is in the area of relationships. And as I've said here on your bookmark there, I've got no risk, no relationships. Because I tell you, relationships are always a risk. There's always a risk in relationships. And some people, because of being hurt, because of somebody has let them down, and people will let you down. If you're someone in your life, you've gone through life and no one's ever let you down, please come and tell me, because I've never met anyone who's never been let down by someone. If you're someone who's never been rejected in your life, tell me, because I've never seen anyone who's never faced rejection of some degree or another. We all do. It's a fact of life. And when we know that people let us down, even good people will let us down, because they're not perfect, and neither are we. And so it'll happen in our lives. But some people, because of what has happened to them, because someone hurt them, someone failed them, someone let them down, then they immediately put up these walls of security around them, and they won't take a risk in relationship. And they won't reach out and end up getting friends, because if I do that, I got hurt by that person. That person said something, they did something. And those things can wound us, don't get me wrong. The people that you love the most are the people that can hurt you the most, and that's true. But you'll never learn to love fully and have proper relationships unless you take a risk and make yourself vulnerable. But some of us just want to cocoon ourselves up. We want to try to keep ourselves safe. And we'll keep people, and some people will keep out there. Some people are like that. They'll just keep everyone away, come off as very cold. Some people let people, you can get this close, but some people let them there, but you're not getting any closer because I don't want you to hurt me. But really, you won't grow as a person until you learn to open your heart to people. Take the risk. Yeah, people will let you down. Yeah, people will fail you. They will do that because people are people. It happens. But you won't grow as a person. If you want to be one who knows how to have good relationships, how to be loving with people, how to be accepting of people from different backgrounds and different circumstances, and to love and to honor people in such a way, then you need to make yourself vulnerable with people. And it's so important that we do that. If you're not taking the risk in relationships, you're not going to build relationships. Every guy that's here is married. Hands up if you're a guy here that you're married. Well, gee, a lot of you are living in sin. I didn't realize. We'll have to do something here. If you're a guy here and you're married, put your hand up. There's a few of you. Lord, I pray for forgiveness for all those that are living in sin this morning. You know that one day you had to take a risk, didn't you? Now, as much as you were building a relationship and, you know, you'd been going out for some time and whatever else, however you courted, however you went through the process, whatever you did, it all came down to one point where you put it all on the line. And I know for us, like, it's when, we got proposed to Mariel on the beach, had some friends who set it up, you know, tables with flowers and roses and everything, and ordered propose for her just as the sun was setting there on the beach. It was all set up. And it was quite expensive, actually, looking back on it. But that was a risk. But you go through all of that, and there's still that moment when you come to that line and you have to ask the question, you have to say, will you marry me? Now, as much as I thought she was going to say yes, I was hoping she was going to say yes, I prayed that she was going to say yes, she might have said no. Praise God, she said yes. But there was a risk. But if I never came to that point in that relationship where I came to the point of saying, will you marry me? Then the fullness of that and the beauty of that relationship would never have been fulfilled. Some people don't actually come to those points because they don't want to be hurt. You know, I don't know if you've ever seen on YouTube, you've seen those, there's a clip where this guy in a crowded shopping center calls everybody to attention. He gets down on his knee in front of this woman in the shopping center, all the shoppers, everyone's turned around, what's going on? And then he opens up and he eloquently proposes to him. She slaps him in the face and walks off. So it's not how she thought she was going to get proposed to. He took a risk. But in relationship, we need to do that. You need to take risks. Some people, you need to trust. Some people are very slow to trust people because I've been hurt. Now, trust is something that you earn. But just because you had a bad experience, you cannot label everybody and treat everybody like that. What that person did who failed you, they let you down, whatever they did. And you will be crippled in life if you're going to be try to be safe in my relationships. You'll never grow, you'll never blossom in life if you like that. I encourage you to do that, to take those. And we also need to, with other people, risk rejection. Risk the fact that they might not like you. And as lovable as you are, can I tell you not everybody likes you? Did you know that? You might find it hard to believe because you are. You're really lovable. But some people won't like you. Some people don't like me. I'm sorry for them. I think I'm all right. I'm not perfect, but I'm not too bad. But not everyone likes us. But sometimes we need to risk being rejected by people. And certainly when it comes to sharing our faith. See, why don't some people share their faith? Our whole heart this year has been doing that. Why have some people here not done that? Many of you have done that. Why have some of us not done that? Because some people might be thinking, hang on, if I do that, what if they reject me? What if I reach out to them and I tell them how much Jesus loves them and how Jesus died on the cross for them and the plan and the hope and the future that the Lord has? And what if they reject me? And so that they don't do that. But if that's our heart, we're not valuing them as a person at all. We're not even valuing our relationship. We think by not telling them, I'm trying to protect my relationship. But if we're not prepared to tell them about the most important thing in life, then what is our relationship anyway? If we're not prepared to tell them the most important thing that we know to be the most important thing about Jesus dying on the cross and that the only way to salvation is through Jesus Christ, then we really got a question. We need to question, what is our relationship anyway? Do I really have a relationship with you if I'm not prepared to put it on the line for you? Because that's how you'll know. If you have family members, if you have friends, and you're so worried about them rejecting you, or they might be turned off, they won't like me anymore, then what is your relationship with them anyway? I would really question that. Because if you really love someone, and if you care enough about someone, you'll put everything on the line for them. And that's something that we need to do to do that. And to risk being rejected. Step out of the boat with the people in your family, people that are friends. What about your reputation at work? You know, some people are too scared to let people know that they're a Christian or share because they don't want to have the reputation. Oh, here they come. You don't have to be a fool about how you share Christ. You've got the best thing in life that anyone could ever want and need. And so it's not as if we have to do it in an aggressive way. We don't have to shove it down people's throats. We don't have to be offensive about how we do it. But you need to risk your reputation. And some people go to work and no one in the whole workplace will know they're a Christian. No one will know. They're a little secret undercover Christian. Well, there's no such thing as that, because we love God and we want people to know about Jesus Christ. We want people to know. We've got to risk our relationship. But you never have relationships unless you take some risks with people. Reach out in friendship to them. And they might not like you and they might not become your friend, and that's fine. And just because they're your brother and sister in Christ, you may relate at one level, but you may not relate at another level, and that's fine. I'm not offended. I know I'm not everybody's cup of tea, and that's fine. But you're my brother, you're my sister, and we can still have a level of relationship. And I'm not offended by that. And neither should you be if someone else is not necessarily doesn't necessarily connect with you. But they're still your brother, still the sister. There's a sense of loving and honouring. But you may be not best buddies with everyone. But we've got to take a risk. If you look at your life and say, I really want some more friendships, then take a risk. Step out of the boat and risk rejection. But if you want to see people come to Christ, then you need to do that. What is your relationship with people that you have? Are you prepared to step out of the boat with them? Are you prepared to take a step of faith and reach out to people that you need to find the Lord? I just want to ask us a question this morning about what really are we prepared to risk for the Lord? What are you prepared to do for the Lord? Are you one who says, no, look, I'm just a little blanky Christian. I don't want to make any sacrifices. Don't ask me to do anything because I've gone through a hard time. I've got pressure on me. You don't know, oh, woe is me. The storm is big and great. But even in the middle of the storm, the Lord says, come, get out of that. As I'm waiting for perfect conditions. Whatever is in our life, sometimes people look at us and they look at, oh, you're a pastor. You don't have a real life. You never have any problems. Nothing ever goes wrong for you. Well, I tell you what, we have problems. Things go wrong. They do. But despite all of that, and even at times when it's think this is not a good time to do this, this is not a good time, the Lord says, come, and so you just step out of the boat and you walk in. And after a little while, we might suddenly find, what have I done? That was the boat that was secure there, and now here I find myself, I'm out here, and do I do a little panic? Well, Peter did, and we give him a hard time for it, but we've all done that too. But we step out of the boat and we say, and the Lord just grabs us. You know, that's the great thing about Peter's story. The Lord didn't just go, oh, well, see you, Peter. You know, you used to catch fish, now you're feeding them, see ya. Like, he didn't do that. He didn't let him. Jesus, the Lord honors that, doesn't he? He honors that. If we step out, the Lord is going to honor that. Now, I'm not talking about being presumptuous and being foolish, but when the Lord says, come, and he's told us to tell our friends about Jesus Christ. He's already said, well, he said go, but we'll take it that way. The invitation's gone, tell them. There's things in your life that God has said, come. And we're saying, well, I will later, when things are a bit better, you know, when things settle down. Just let myself settle down. When things are all settled down, when everything's organized, when everything's hunky-dory, everything's nice, Lord, I will come. But if you live like that, you're never going to do anything in life. And you'll find, you know, as we've mentioned this morning about these Olympians that are out there and doing stuff who, you know, that young kid who won the gold medal, 18-year-old kid, well, he threw his VCE in to do that and put everything on the line for that. Now, was that wise or not? Because, you know, if you sat down as a career guidance counselor, yeah, but what if you don't win and, you know, you could come, you might not even make it to the final and then you've thrown it in and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But they had a passion and a dream. But how much more something that's born of the Spirit of God, that God says to come, that we do that without hesitation. So don't wait for safety. Don't be one that wants a safe harbour. You know, you're never going to fulfil what God has for your life if you're waiting for everything to be right. When that problem's over, because some people even think, look, I'm in a real problem at the moment, a real crisis. When this is over, then I will. But you know what tends to happen? Is that you're gone in this little thing there, and then, okay, oh, okay, hang on a minute. Finally, sorry, Lord, hang on a minute. And the whole life just becomes one thing after another. And that's all your life will be if you never take that step. And always trying to hide in your little blankie and wondering what is going on. Well, the fact is you're not having any faith. No faith operating in our lives. And so without faith, we can't please God. Without faith, we're never going to break through in our lives. And so important that we do that. So what are you prepared to risk for the Lord? It says in Acts 15, 25 to 26 about Paul and Barnabas, it says, men who risk their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 16, 3 and 4, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my co-workers in Christ. They risked their lives. Speaking about Epaphroditus, he says, he risked his life to make up for the help that you yourselves could not give me. Now, these are ones who are risking their life. Now, not many of us are asked to put ourselves at risk. I mean, there's times we've been on, you know, a couple of the early mission trips when you go into war zone, there's a degree of risk there. But, you know, but these ones will lay everything down, put their life down for the Lord. What are you prepared to risk for the Lord? Are you prepared to risk some comfort? Are you allowed to risk some security? Are you risk to go out on a cold and wet and windy day? You know, oh, it's raining and cold outside. I better stay inside in my blankie. I don't want to get out in the cold. I'm going to go. It doesn't matter what the weather is. I'm going to do it because the Lord has said, come. He said to do it. So I'm going to do that. And what are you prepared to risk for the Lord? Are you prepared to risk your relationship with your friend? Are you prepared to tell them about Jesus? Are you prepared to invite them along to church? Are you prepared to reach out to somebody? Are you prepared to risk that? Are you prepared to risk rejection? What are you prepared to risk? Not many of you are going to have to actually physically have your life on the line where it says, you stand for me and you'll die and I'll execute you, or reject the Lord and you will live. And some people, unfortunately, all across the world, there's Christians that do face that. Doesn't even make it to our newspapers, who are put in those situations. Deny Christ, we'll let you live. Now, we're probably not going to be in that situation. But what are we prepared to risk for the Lord? Our comfort, our reputation, what people think of you? Prepared to put that on the line? Maybe you're prepared to actually go out on a mission trip sometime. Maybe you want to put yourself in a situation. Maybe reach out to a people that you don't know or familiar with and begin to talk to them. Maybe you're happy to do that. Maybe for you a risk is just at a public prayer gathering. And the one for you, some it might not be just even to go to one is something. But go if you go one to one and actually say a prayer in front of people. But lead us all in a prayer. Are you prepared to do that? Maybe God stirs a prophetic word upon your heart and are you prepared to bring that and to bring that word that the body of Christ might be edified? What are you prepared to risk for the Lord? Are you one that you're going to stay in the boat when the storms are there? Or you're going to, when the Lord says come, just as Peter does, he just gets out and go. And I just believe there's a resounding come, an invitation the Lord is saying about don't be caught up in your comfort zone. Don't be caught up in the familiar. Let God call you out of that. He wants you to grow. He wants you to be what he's called us to be. And we're not going to do that if we're going to sit in the boat hiding under our blankies. He wants us to be ones who are clothed in the authority of Jesus Christ and are prepared to step out. Let's pray. I'll share about some more of these things. You get a lot more of this stuff. We'll share on this afternoon at Digger's Rest. So you want to hear the rest of it, you can come to Digger's Rest. So let's just pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you, Lord, for each person that is here. And Lord, you're one that doesn't condemn us or judge us in our weakness, Lord. And Lord, you're one who understands our situation, Lord. You know the circumstances of our lives. But Lord, even in the midst of all of our weakness, even in the midst of the challenges that we face, Lord, that you give the word and you say, come to step out of the boat. And Father, I pray, Lord, that we'll be ones, Lord, and not just looking for safety. Lord, not looking for the easy road, not looking to play it safe, not liking to minimalize, but Lord, we'll say, no, Lord, I'm going to give you maximum. Lord, I'm going to lay my life down for you, Lord, and I'm going to serve you wholeheartedly. Lord, I'm going to take risks in my relationships, to build friendships with people. Lord, I'm going to step out in all of those things, Lord, to share my faith with people. Lord, I pray that we'll be such a people, Lord, that we will be obedient. When you say the word, that we will go. And Lord, that we will take risks. Lord, that we will step out, Lord, not waiting for perfect conditions. Lord, never let us be such a people that wait for everything to be perfect. Lord, let us be ones who wait for the call of the Lord, to hear the voice of the Lord. And Lord, immediately, the Lord, that we go and do what you say. So Father, I just pray for each and every one of us, Lord, that are here. Lord, and all of us in some ways, Lord, we have hidden the boat sometimes. All of us in some ways have done that, Lord. But this day, we thank you, Lord, that you don't forget to condemn us, Lord. You forgive us. But, Lord, then you just give us the word and say, come. Lord, give us the courage to take the steps that we know that we need to take. Father, I ask that now in Jesus' name. Amen. If you want some prayer this morning, be happy to pray. Just come over this side here. We'll pray with you and allow the Lord just to touch your life. And if you're stuck in that boat and you really need some help and encouragement, we'd love to pray with you. Let's worship the Lord and sing this together. Thanks, God.